Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you again that we can gather together around your word. Thank you that Jesus Christ has been lifted up in song, and I pray that he would be lifted up as we look at your word. Truly, Lord, we are only scratching the surface of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and I pray that as we grow together as a church under your word, that we would delve further into the unsearchable riches of Christ, that we will grow in this life, but grow in even further in the life to come. So open our minds to understand the scriptures this morning, and I pray that you would change our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we are beginning a series in the book of Titus. So please turn to the book of Titus. And I have in the bulletin that I'm preaching from one verse, the first verse, Titus 1:1, but I'll actually be preaching from the whole book this morning. And Lord willing, we will finish sometime in June, if everything goes according to plan. Today, my purpose is simple. I want to explain the whole book of Titus to you in one sermon. No, really, I want to explain to you the whole theme of Titus, the whole theme, and then see the implications for our lives. So how does the whole book of Titus speak into our lives? Next week, we'll look at the purpose of Titus. So if you imagine the theme of Titus is like looking at a piece of cloth, and you see the different threads and colors that run through the cloth. That's like the theme. We're going to investigate the threads that run through Titus that hold it together. And then next week we'll look at the purpose, which is looking at the cloth. What is this cloth used for? Oh, it's used for our shirt or a pair of pants. So the theme is like cloth, and the purpose is like clothes. Why did Paul write this book? Just a few simple facts that we can gather from the book of Titus. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Titus to his co-worker in the gospel named Titus. And Paul had left Titus on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea to finish what we would call today church planting efforts. He was supposed to appoint leaders and instruct the churches in sound doctrine. So that's a few facts. We'll get into the background next week. Today, I'm going to read the whole book of Titus. I don't get to say that often. I'm going to read the whole book for you. But according to 1 Timothy 4:13, the pastor is supposed to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture. So this is the best part of the sermon right here from God's mouth. Titus. So it'll only take about 6 minutes. You can follow along in your Bible if you want, or you can just listen. So Titus chapters 1, 2, and 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." In chapter 2. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Chapter 3. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And as I encouraged you in the bulletin insert, as we study this book over the next several weeks, be good if you, as a family or as an individual, would sit down once a week and read it together, just to prepare your minds and your hearts in our study of Titus. So, the theme, I told you we're going to talk about the theme, but I just don't want to tell it to you. I want you to see it for yourself, because I want you to love this book and study it on your own. So, let's look at the theme. So, to find the theme, let's look at the outline of the book. What are the main points of Titus? Well, my Bible and the Pew Bible have Titus on one page, which is really, or open, you don't have to flip pages to find other chapters. That is very helpful for what we're doing right here. So chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 are the greeting. And chapter 3, verses 12 to 15 are the conclusion. So any good letter is going to have a beginning and an ending. So that's the beginning and the ending of Titus, kind of Paul's personal greeting and personal conclusion to Titus. The rest of chapter 1 are Paul's instructions to Titus. So personal instructions from Paul to Titus. Verses 5 to 9, he is to appoint the right kind of teachers or leaders. The church is not going to survive if it has bad leaders. So he says the church needs good leaders, and this is what the elders or pastors look like. And then verses 10 to 16, Paul says you need to teach right doctrine. So the church is not going to survive if it has bad teaching. So reject the wrong doctrine and accept the correct doctrine and teach that doctrine. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the instructions that Paul gives to Titus to pass on to the church. So these things are for the whole church to learn together. And you probably picked up that the first 10 verses of chapter 2 are about how to behave in the house, in the household. You have women and men and servants, instructions to Titus, how older women are to instruct younger women. So some instructions on how to live in the household in that ancient time. And verses 11 to 15 of chapter 2 are the doctrine that backs up that behavior. And we'll get to that later. So he says, here's how you're supposed to behave, and here's some doctrine, here's some teaching, here's some gospel that backs up that instruction. And then chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, are how Christians are to live in society. So government, our neighbors, don't speak evil of anyone, you know, respect and obey the government. And so, and then verses 3 to 8 are the doctrine or the gospel that backs up that behavior. So you kind of get a flow. Instruction, gospel. And then a few verses 9 to 11 of chapter 3, how to deal with people who cause division in the church. Very important. So we begin to see common threads in our cloth of Titus. Right doctrine and right living. Now, when you hear the word doctrine, you might think of stuffy people in windowless rooms reading very large books. And I don't want you to think about that. Even though I like very large books and like reading them, doctrine is just a word for teaching, the teaching of the Bible. And in Titus, Paul uses some synonyms for teaching. He uses doctrine, the faith, as in the content of what we believe, the word of God, the truth. All of those are referring to the teaching of the Bible. Very important. And Paul pulls no punches when it comes to the importance of doctrine. He says to Titus in chapter 2, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So he's saying this stuff is really important. Don't back down on doctrine. And you can see, we read through it. Doctrine's important. In Titus, Paul uses the word sound 4 times to refer to doctrine. We got to have sound doctrine or sound teaching. And this word can also be translated healthy. Same word as it's used in the Gospels to describe someone that's healthy. So healthy doctrine. That's what Paul is concerned about. The church must be healthy in its doctrine. The second theme that emerges, the second thread that we can trace through the cloth of Titus, is that of good works or godliness. Good works are mentioned, I believe, 6 times in this book. So they're important here, how Christians act and what they do. Not just good works, but zeal, readiness for good works. So those are 2 themes. And so the rest of the sermon, I'm going to talk about how these 2 themes are connected. They're very important. And Paul connects healthy doctrine with healthy living for the church and for the Christian. I'll look through Titus. I have about 6 verses here in Titus that connect healthy doctrine and healthy living. So look with me at chapter 1, verse 1. And this is where I get my sermon text from, the very end of verse 1. The truth which is after godliness, or other translation is the truth which accords with godliness. So there is godliness, there's a way of life that parallels what we believe about the truth. Chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become or accord with sound doctrine. Then what does he do? For 10 verses, he talks about how we live. So all of Paul's instructions in verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2 are things that accord with sound doctrine. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. So in light of these instructions about how to live, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." He says, that's gospel. That's doctrine. God's grace has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness. And then he goes on from there. So grace has appeared. That's gospel and doctrine, teaching us to live for Christ. Chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So always teach these things. Why? That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So you go on and on that Paul connects healthy doctrine with healthy living. And so it's very, very important. They go together. Healthy eating is a common topic in our society today. If you know me, I have a myriad of food allergies, and so I think about food way too much. But you talk to people, and they'll talk about a new diet they're having or something that another diet they've heard about in the news. So this healthy eating is a common topic in our society. And there are diets that are all the rage this year or the year before. And there's disagreement on what's healthy to eat. I mean, carbs were good, but now carbs are bad. Sugar was okay, fat was evil. Now sugar is evil and fat is okay. It's all very confusing to what is healthy to eat. Whatever you've heard about healthy eating, you know what you eat determines how you feel. So what you eat determines how you feel and affects how you work and how you live. Just try this. Don't eat anything tomorrow and then go for a hike and see how you feel. We all know it. Or try to eat all sugar and see what happens. Some of you might be a little bit dangerous to be around. Or just eat butter all day and see how you feel. So we all understand this, that what we put into our bodies through our mouth affects how we feel. The same way our intake of food affects the way we feel, our intake of doctrine affects the way we live. Very, very important. So clearly, doctrine and godliness are related. In order to have healthy living in the church, we must have healthy doctrine. So healthy doctrine leads to healthy living. So we can agree they're connected. We can see it in the physical world about eating. We can see it in the church. A church that has bad doctrine is going to have bad living. The question is this: how are they related? How is the doctrine we preach from the pulpit and taught in the Sunday school and learned from the Bible, how does it affect the way we live? Very important question. And I read for us the two main doctrine passages for the scripture reading today. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, and chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Doctrine. So in order to answer the question, how does healthy doctrine lead to healthy living, we need to answer the question, what is doctrine? And so to answer the first question, we ask another question, which can be annoying at times, but this is what we're going to do. What is doctrine? And my answer to that question is this: doctrine in Titus is the gospel. And I read for us those passages. And I'm just going to just remind you of a few of the truths that are in Titus that are doctrine. So, God's grace has appeared, bringing salvation. That's gospel. That's the good news. Christ gave himself for us to redeem us. Gospel. We were once foolish and disobedient, but the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared. Gospel. He saved us, not because of our righteous works, but because of his mercy. Gospel. He has accomplished salvation in our lives by the Holy Spirit. We are justified by his grace. We are heirs of heaven. Gospel. The gospel is the message of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. It's not what we do for God. It's what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And in Titus, I believe that Paul has the gospel as the specific doctrine he is talking about, the sound teaching that must be present in the church. This gospel in Titus is rich cheesecake. It's steak you can sink your teeth into. You can take this gospel and live on it. This is good stuff. All doctrine is important, but the gospel is of first importance. 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul says, this is the doctrine that you need to focus on. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, what's doctrine? It's the gospel of what Christ has done for us. Now we're back to our first question. How does sound doctrine or healthy doctrine lead to healthy living? Last Monday night, there was a large explosion at a house here on Buffalo Road. You all probably heard about it in the news, or you can drive right by it. The house caught fire and was a pile of smoldering rubble within an hour, so it burned down quickly. And at this point, the fire investigators are still searching for the cause of the explosion. They don't know. They say because it exploded, it's hard to sift through all the floors and all the walls and whatnot. Perhaps it was a gas leak. Let's assume that it was a gas leak. Well, you have a gas leak, what ignited the gas? That's another question. That's what we're looking for. What ignites sound doctrine into sound living? What is that spark? We want that spark that ignites what we hear on Sunday into living during the week. You feel you want that spark. And you see, you've had it before. You've seen people that have it. Say, I want that spark that ignites this doctrine into living. Perhaps you've met a person that knows lots of doctrine. They know their Bible really well. They use words like predestination and substitutionary atonement in their prayers. Like, ooh, they must be godly because they know big theological words. Not necessarily so. Are they living a pure life? Are they doing good works? That's what Titus would say. One pastor recently asked this question. Why do people with PhDs in theology commit adultery? Why? They know so much of the Bible. Perhaps you've heard of a Christian leader or a pastor falling into sin, and it's very sad when we hear about that. What? They got their ducks in a row. They know their stuff. What happened? Well, we know that sound doctrine is not to blame, because Paul says, you got to hold on to sound doctrine. So something else is missing. I hope you know another kind of person. A Christian who is zealous for good works. A person who joyfully does good for other people. They love others, they serve others, and most of all, they have a love for the Savior. They might not use large theological words, but they know the gospel, and they have a healthy Christian life. They've got the spark. What is that spark that we want, that ignites God's word into healthy living? Titus 3:8 lays it out very clearly for us. We're kind of clued in different places in Titus, but Titus 3, verse 8, really makes it clear. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. What are those things? That would be important to find out. Gospel, doctrine, he had just talked about, verses 3 to 7 of chapter 3. Gospel, I want you to constantly teach these things. Why? Why? So that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So, the purpose of insisting on gospel doctrine is that people may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Who are those people? According to verse 8. Those who believe in God. Faith is the spark that ignites doctrine into living. Belief in the gospel. The faith, the spark of faith, turns the propane of doctrine into fire. Without that spark, the propane, it comes into the house, it stinks it up, and it leads to death. So without faith, all this doctrine is smelly. With faith, doctrine burns with zeal for good works. And that's what I want us to do. I'm saying, well, faith is very important, apparently, because it's the spark. Faith is not an indifferent knowledge of the gospel. I got it tucked away in the back of my brain somewhere. No. People who are zealous for good works have been gripped by the gospel. A person that knows that Jesus Christ laid down his life for them is going to lay down their lives for others. A person who treasures the grace that rescued them from their sin is not going to sit around and pout. Believing the gospel results in joy, not grumpiness. So if your doctrine is making you grumpy, you have either the wrong doctrine or you do not truly believe the doctrine that you're reading in the scriptures. A person who has been set free from the prison of sin is not going to sit outside those prison walls and wonder, what am I going to do? They are going to serve Jesus. A person who actually believes the gospel will be zealous for good works. They have that spark of faith in their lives. And that spark of faith is given by the Holy Spirit. Because that's not something we can do. But that's for another time. The main point of Titus, The main point of my sermon today is this. Healthy doctrine leads to healthy living when you have faith in that doctrine. So are you living a healthy Christian life? I entitled my sermon today, Healthy Living, not thinking about physical food and physical life, but our spiritual lives. Are you living a healthy Christian life? Are you fit in service for Jesus? And my first question to that is this. Do you know and love the gospel? Have you been rescued from your sins by God's grace? Does it mean the world to you that you have been purchased by Jesus Christ? Purchased by Jesus Christ to live for him, to do good works for him? Now, you may say you believe the gospel, but deep down, you could actually believe something else. It will show in your actions if you really believe the gospel that you say you believe. Chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him." I pray that's not true of any of you today. That you say, "I know Jesus, but you live like you don't." What we really believe will lead to action. And I've given this illustration before, but if you know a tornado is coming, you don't see it, you're going to go take shelter in a basement. You go, "I'm not sure, so sure," and you stay in your house. You don't go in the basement. If you really believe the tornado is coming, you will go in the basement and flee from the tornado. So that we see that what we really believe leads to action. That's how God has made us. Out of the heart, that's how we act. I want you to have a healthy Christian life full of good works. I want us to be a healthy church that's zealous for good works. And to be that Christian and to be that kind of church, we've got to follow God's way of getting there. Motivational speaking won't cut it. The enthusiasm will die down after a while. Guilt trips won't work. You guys just need to get out there and do more good works as you're supposed to. You don't really love Jesus if you're not doing good works. Guilt will not cut it. People won't be zealous for good works with guilt trips. A professional theatrical production on Sunday morning will not result in godliness. That's not how it works, folks. Doctrine preached and treasured will energize us for good works. That's how it works. And that's the church I want us to be. Even more than that, what really matters, that's the church that Jesus wants us to be. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, it's great to study this whole book together. And I pray as we unpack verse by verse in the following weeks and months that you would help us to grow in sound doctrine, but also to really believe that doctrine and to be zealous for good works. I pray that you would increase our faith by your Holy Spirit given to us so that we would believe and love the things that you are teaching us. So thank you for this book. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.